A recent study by a payment solution company, Flywire, found that more than half of the payment companies lose anywhere between 4 to 5% of monthly revenues because of fragmented payment inefficiencies that are a result of fragmented systems and processes. What do you think that payment firms can do to overcome these inefficiencies?
Yeah, sure. That's a very good question. And we do see that with our clients as well that we do work with, that they are potentially losing out a decent chunk of their revenues because they are not able to primarily convert their customers. So most of these inefficiencies come from two aspects. One is from lower conversion compared to what they could be doing. And the second one is from a lot of manual processes in the background, which can naturally lead to operational errors or oversight in terms of or lack of oversight that leads them to missing out on revenues. So I would probably think of four things that jump out at the top of my head. One is in terms of which payment methods are these companies offering, because we do see that depending on the geography that you're operating in, it's extremely important to have the right payment method. So if you're operating in the markets of, let's say, Sweden, you need to have the likes of Swish, as well as you need to have Trustly in there. If you're operating in Netherlands, you need to have Ideal. If you're operating in the market of, say, Switzerland, you need to have Twint. So having the right payment methods is extremely important as a first place to make sure that you're converting your customers and making it as easy and intuitive to make that purchase and make that payment, and thereby not lose out on those payments that would otherwise have been captured. We have seen in one of our clients that was operating on a global scale in one of the local markets, they didn't have the traditional payment method needed for success in there. And when they introduced that payment method, the payments volumes process actually jumped by 30%. So a very significant amount of revenue that they were not capturing because they didn't have the right set of payment methods. The other ones are slightly simpler to introduce, but a lot of companies don't actively think about it or have thought about it. So there are things such as the account updaters. So one of the aspects that we see a lot of companies haven't actively thought about or don't even know about is account updaters. So the way account updater works is particularly relevant for companies in the subscription industry. One of the issues that the companies in the subscription market have is that the card account details that their customers put expire after a couple of years. For these companies to then go in and get these customers to update the account details can often be challenging. A lot of customers may churn at this point of time because in their head they don't actually need their services, or a lot of people have other options that they start exploring because they have to actively make a change. So an account updater, what it does is that it automatically gets the details of the new card from Visa MasterCard's profiles and updates it. So you don't actually, as a customer, have to make any changes. Sounds like a pretty small and intuitive thing to do, but has extremely strong ramifications in terms of retention as well as the payment volumes. The other thing that we also see is around tokenization. So the key idea behind tokenization is that you can securely store the card details on your website. So anytime a customer comes in, they don't have to enter their card details to make the purchase. They're already stored there, and the customer literally has to click the purchase as well as maybe insert the CVC at the back of their card details, the 3 or 4 digit on the card. So these kind of solutions can go a long way in automating the processes that would otherwise have required manual intervention from either customers or from the staff of that particular business, and have a strong impact on the overall conversions as a result. The other point that we often see is around fraud detection and solutions. So certain companies can be very stringent about the fraud detection because they are extremely wary of the losses the businesses can have. And there are other companies that are not going as diligent as they could be, losing out revenues as a result of fraud. So having the right fraud solution in place that is able to detect which are authentic transactions to a good degree and which are inauthentic can be a pretty important lever for companies to make sure that they are capturing the revenues that they should be generating and not losing out too much on fraud either. So I would probably call out those four as some of the key ways in which customers can reduce those payment inefficiencies that they see within their business operations.
Thanks, Abhi. I think when we started this discussion, you touched upon Alipay and Venmo in the US, and of course, we also have UPI in India. A lot of these work innovation, and a lot of the innovation that we see in this payment space has primarily focused on the retail segment, the consumer segment. When it comes to cross-border payments, especially on the B2B side, they are traditionally more expensive, owing to longer payment rails, compliance checks, and requirements like pre-funding. So what innovation do you see happening in this area that can help businesses reduce the payment costs?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, because what we have seen, and to your point, we have had more of the innovation starting off in the end consumer side, and the B2B side is slowly catching up with it. There are probably two that I think of when I just look at the opportunities. One is the rise of buy now, pay later for the B2B side. So moving away from B2C by Klarna, we are seeing a lot of the new age players like Hokodo, as well as established players, whether they are insurers or traditional banks, coming into the buy now, pay later side. That's one key trend that we are seeing. The other trend that we are seeing is how these transfers are actually made. So particularly when you think about the cross-border transactions, they are expensive on two accounts. One is the FX rates that are being charged, and the second is the amount of time it actually takes to process. And maybe now adding in a third is the cost of the transfer itself. So with the likes of Wise and Revolut, which had traditionally focused on the B2C side, they're now moving on the B2B side. And their proposition is fairly similar, that they can actually pull off the transfers being international and really use cross settlements from the respective countries in which they operate. They've also gone further and integrated with the local scheme. So you don't have to go through a SWIFT transaction, but they use the balances that they hold in the respective geographies or respective currencies and route them through the local banking rails so that they not only get their funds to their customers faster, but also at a much cheaper rate and at attractive FX composition. So that's where we see quite a few developments. So on the buy now, pay later, as well as how the funds are transferred themselves.
So given this context of the innovation that we see in the payment space happening, what are the potential opportunities or use cases that you see where SunTech and Simon Kucher can collaborate together?
Yeah. So in terms of how collaborations go, the way we would typically see things panning out is that we help set up the actual pricing for a particular organization. So we would determine which price metrics, which price models, what price levels need to go in place. Now, for a lot of companies, they may have legacy infrastructure, or they may not have the latest in terms of being able to implement those pricing. We obviously consider conscious of it and are considerate in terms of making our recommendations to design something that's implementable. And that's where the partners such as SunTech come into the picture, because they have the capabilities on executing the recommendations that we make so that our clients can really make the most of the opportunity. So they're the ones who would come in and look at setting up the execution of those price metrics, making the systems capable for putting in the price models in terms of if you're charging a subscription or if you're charging on a pay-as-you-go basis or a hybrid of those. RIC requires the billing and invoicing capabilities that partners such as SunTech would bring into the picture.
Thanks, Abhimanyu. So indeed, interesting times that we're living in. And as we see a lot of innovation happening in the payment space around the world, we also see traditional payment firms being challenged by newcomers and the kind of obstacles that they are overcoming today. I'm sure this space is going to be red hot, and we're going to see a lot more improvement, a lot more benefits to the end customer, not just for a particular segment, but across the board. That's going to improve the kind of payment capabilities that we have today. I think we're looking forward to an era when we would have instant real-time payment. That is a reality for all kinds of payments, cross-border payments and B2B payments. And that is a future that we are probably looking at. So Abhimanyu, thank you for joining us, and thank you for this informative and insightful discussion. And thank you everyone else for joining in today.